Welcome to a new special series called The Bathroom Break. That extra 10 minutes you either have to listen to marketing tips or use the bathroom or both. But I don't recommend both, but that's your choice.
This collab is going to be super fun. We have Daniel Murray from the Marketing Millennials and me, Jay Schwedelson from the Do This Not That podcast and subjectline.com. Each episode in the series, we are going to go over quick tips about different marketing topics. And if you want to be in the bathroom, fine, just don't tell us about it. Thanks for checking it out. We are back for another episode of The Bathroom Break. This is Jay Schwedelson from the Do This Not That podcast, and I'm here with the great Daniel Murray from the Marketing Millennials podcast. And today we're going to be talking about firing clients. But before we talk about firing clients, we got a big football game coming up. The Super Bowl is coming up. And for those of you who don't know, Daniel was a Division I football player, University of Cincinnati. And San Diego, University of San Diego. Do I have that right? I think I have that right.
You got it right.
And so I got a question for you. When the Super Bowl's coming up, are you like, oh, wow, I love football. I'm all hyped. And you like planning it out for like weeks and you can't wait to go and eat nachos and analyze football? Or could you care less?
As a marketer, I think it's a fun time. As a football fan, it's not a fun time.
Why?
I just think NFL has got too entertainmentized, if that's even a word, but it's so much slower. I like college football more. There's more things going on. There's more. I'd rather watch college football than NFL, but I do like it as a marketer's Super Bowl of them, the most creative marketers trying to put out the best content. What about you?
I'm very disappointed with both the Chiefs and the Eagles. I can care less. I wish it was new teams, so the whole thing sucks. My biggest thing with Super Bowl is we get invited to like so-and-so's house for a Super Bowl party or whatever, and I absolutely don't want to go because I wind up sitting next to an idiot who wants to tell me all the stats that they've memorized heading into that person's house, and I just don't care. And I want to watch the commercials. I can't watch the commercials. I only know one song by Kendrick Lamar, and he's the halftime performer, so the whole thing is a hot mess for me.
Jay just low-key just told everybody how popular he is that he gets invited to all these parties. Yeah. But yes, it's tough going to those parties because you either can't hear anything, right, or that's just, if you really want good food, go to the parties. If you don't want to watch anything about the game, you go to a party.
Well, along those lines, so I'm firing whoever's inviting me to a party, so that way I'll fire them as friends. But speaking of firing them as friends, let's talk about firing clients. We both have marketing services businesses, right? And there are some clients that we both have that we've had for years. We love working with them. It's great. But what about firing clients? Do you fire clients, or do you just put up with nonsense? Like, when do you know it's the right time to say goodbye to a client?
Especially in the service business, if the time value and the time suck for all the communication doesn't equal the same amount, because usually it's only 5% or 10% of clients that are really annoying. And we do have standards for clients, but the 10% that, it's usually people who don't pay a lot and then they ask for a lot more and they're annoying. So what I figured out is that if you don't fire them, you're spending 10x more time on this one client where you could be going out to get two better clients in that person's place. So I hate it for the time drain, the time suck, also the stress. It's not worth it. Obviously, if you're just getting started, you might have to deal with that client for a little bit until you scale up. But I think once the time to value doesn't equal, then it's time to get rid of them.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know what I found in my business was years ago, we were wanting to fire more clients, like a lot. And I took a step back and I said, well, is there something we're doing wrong? And I realized we were doing a very bad job of management of expectations. We were kind of selling almost the impossible, like all these amazing things are going to happen if you work with us, right? And then out of the gate, it, you know, might take some time for all those amazing things to happen. And the clients were onboarding and it wasn't going great. And they were being super annoying and just poking at us and all this stuff. And we were saying, get rid of you. And really the problem was more how we were onboarding people and what we were telling them. And so we changed that. We were more upfront about it, which was great. The other thing we did was we raised our minimums, because to your point, there is, I think, a direct correlation between how vocal and annoying a client might be and how little they spend. Because they, you know, they're watching every single penny and they're nervous and they're whatever. And it just drives me bananas. So we upped our minimums and that helped a lot too.
I think also going back to what you said, one of the best advices that I got when I was just working as a head of marketing ops somewhere is my boss told me, because I would get things done really fast and people started expecting that, is you teach people how to treat you. So I think if you don't set expectations up front and have things in your contract that say you get X number of revisions, you have, here's the scope is clear. I think changing what you said up front, like you said, it has to be put in your contracts that you only get this much time, this many meetings, this many revisions, this many X, because that's when you screw yourself. And that's exactly how, if you don't do that, you start teaching people that it's okay to reach out on the weekends. It's okay to reach out during Slack at all hours. It's okay to bug, treat your employees with the bad. You have to set that expectation that that's not okay. This is how we run our agency.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, you bring up an important point, and I don't care how big the client is in my organization, it could be our biggest client. If they treat the team rudely, like they are inappropriate, you know, cursing at them or doing something really over the top, whatever, that's a non-starter for me. That's goodbye. Don't care who you are, for two reasons. Number one, I don't want to work with people like that. But most importantly, your team needs to know that you have their back and that you won't stand for that no matter what. Because if not, I think the culture of your organization will deteriorate really fast. That if people on the team feel that something like that is allowable, then they don't want to be a part of that. And that's the fastest way to crush culture in a business, is for people to not feel supported. At least that's what we see.
It's also in every business is that if you try to sell to everybody, it starts becoming a problem. So going back and saying, look at your clients right now. What are my dream clients? What do they do? What are the characteristics? And having that in upfront process and knowing these are your dream clients. What happened to me a lot of the time is I just took on, oh, they slightly are in our ICP, or they slightly, we could do this. And then we realized it was harder work because we're not as good in that industry, or it was way more time because it took longer to write for that person. Sometimes you need to niche down to scale up. And I realize, like, if you're super focused on one thing, it's the business scales way faster than if you try to get more squeeze from all these different people that are fringe ICP or even not even in your ideal customer profile.
Yeah. And it's not even a matter of like annoying clients or people that you want to fire in that regard. It's just not a fit. And that's fine. And one of the things that we do, which has been really, really helpful, is we have a list of vendors that we refer to, not people that we get, you know, any type of like referral fee, but different people that we refer to in other businesses for where we get asked, where people think we do something that we actually don't do. Like we don't do SEO, for example, right? But we get hit up about doing SEO all the time. And there are certain companies that we refer to because we just don't do that. And the good part about that is when you're able to say, hey, these are a great company, we know them, work with them, whatever, that person at that company then becomes a valuable part of your network. They appreciate the fact you referred them to somebody you know, and then they'll connect you with somebody. So creating a list of kind of companies and people that you can refer in each of the different buckets that are most requested of you that you don't do can turn into a real valuable thing for your overall business.
And one last point I'll make is at a certain point in a business, that extra revenue is not worth that client.
Total.
And that's something you have to just take a hit on. That extra revenue might take your team's freedom, your freedom away, your time, you're more stressful. And you have to do an audit to yourself. Is that extra revenue really worth my time, energy, and time suck? And usually when you look back and you fire that client, you figure out they weren't worth that time. They weren't worth our energy. They weren't worth anything. So I think And one point I want to just double down on is I think pricing is the best filter for that. I think once you fire a client, raise your rates, because usually at the start you have these lower rates, and then you start more as the band goes, you have to raise your rates to make that a better filter for yourself. So,
all right, before you wrap up here, I'm just curious, if you were playing the Super Bowl and you could bring any, you know, musical talent to do the halftime show, anybody, I want to know who Daniel Murray is bringing to the Super Bowl to be the halftime show performer.
It's a really good question. I'm going to go with it because I just saw the movie Complete Unknown. I think like Bob Dylan to do it because he's been out of it for a while and like nobody knows. I think that'll be like, oh, he's coming. Like, is this the mysterious factor? He hasn't played for a while. That's a cop-out answer, I would say, but I think, I mean, everybody, what's your answer to that? Or the Cranberries?
Oh, we love the Cranberries, but Dolores O'Riordan passed away, yeah, sadly, so she's not around anymore. I love the Cranberries.
I know. The Cranberries would have been great. The Cranberries
would have been great. Well, this year they have Kendrick Lamar. I think it would have been really cool if they also had Drake, because they have beef, and like, they could have done their diss tracks live. And even have been like something like that would be cool, because like I said to my mom, hey, do you know Kendrick Lamar? You know, he's doing the halftime show. And I could have said, do you know any other human? She's like, I have no idea what you just said. I don't know what a Kendrick Lamar sings, does, whatever. So I think you need something that like resonates with a massive audience. Bob Dylan would be good, but I don't actually think he has the ability to do a 15-minute performance. No shade on him. I just feel like, you know, he's checked out a little bit. What the hell do I know?
I just think just like the beef online, it's just, this is your one last time to see Bob Dylan.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I think that'd be, that's something, how you market it would be the,
yeah.
Because everybody would be like, I never saw Bob Dylan before. Just like,
that would be cool.
Seeing the Beatles one more time, yeah, last time.
Like get Paul McCartney to come back and do it. Get Taylor Swift to do it this year. Yeah. That would be like epic.
That's what I was going to say as my cop-out answer, but I wasn't going to go there.
All right. Well, listen, hope everybody doesn't go off and just fire all their clients after this episode. That would be terrible. Hang in there. And listen, go follow the Marketing Millennial Show. Fantastic. Daniel crushes it. And we'll see you at the next one. Daniel, come on, man. I got to get back to work. Get out of there. All right. While he's still in there, this is Jay. Check out my podcast, Do This, Not That, for marketers. Each week, we share really quick tips on stuff that can improve your marketing. And I hope you give it a try. Oh, here's Daniel. He's finally out.
Back from my bathroom break. This is Daniel. Go follow the Marketing Millennial podcast, but also tune into this series. It's once a week, the bathroom break. We talk about marketing tips that we just spew out, and it could be anything from email subject line to any marketing tips in the world. We'll talk about it. Just give us a shout on LinkedIn and tell us what you want to hear. Peace out.
Later.